The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Thank you for joining us. I know today's message is going to stir your faith and I believe help you to see what you've never seen before. I've been preaching recently on having a vision from God for your life and how important it is to dream. And today I'm going to preach on what you see is what you get. You've got to have a vision, and God has one. Vision is the ability to see ahead. It's what you focus on. Without it, the Bible said, without a vision, people perish. Marriages perish. Hopes and dreams and aspirations perish. And ministries perish without a vision. But when you have a vision and you begin to follow God and do what He shows you to do, all that heaven has will see to it that vision is fulfilled. And I'm going to tell you something. God can show you a picture of where you're headed. And this is a Bible principle that I'm going to share with you today that's going to change your life. What you see is what you get.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them with me to the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, Habakkuk. And I'm going to preach to you today. This message of dreaming is in my heart. And I believe that what I'm going to share today can help you. I want to give you today a blueprint plan that is laid out in the Word of God to finding and obtaining and doing the vision that God has called you to do. I'll begin reading with Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. I will stand my watch. I will set myself on the tower, and I will watch to see what He will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. God's timing will be right. And I'm preaching today on you get what you see. You get what you see. Vision in the Bible is mentioned many times. There were open visions. There were closed visions. There were people who were carried in a vision by God to places, even to the third heaven. But the kind of vision that this text is giving us a blueprint for affects all of us. Vision is the ability to see a day you have yet to enter into. Vision is what you focus on. He said, I will watch to see what He will say, not just hear what He will say, but I'm watching, Habakkuk said, to see what God is saying. In other words, if you're going to see what they're saying, it's a picture. It's a mental image. I'm waiting on God for His vision for my life, and I'm going to see myself doing what He says I can do. I will wait to see what He will say, not just hear what He will say. You got to see it. You got to see yourself doing it. It's possible to have God say something to you, but you don't see it. You have to see what God says to you. You can read all you want that God wants to bless you, that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that you are forgiven, cleansed, free. But until you see yourself walking in that truth, it doesn't work for you. He said, I've got to see what he will say. You've got to get a picture. You've got to see yourself out of addiction. You've got to see yourself out of fear and torment, the defeated life. You've got to see yourself in a happy marriage before you'll ever experience it. You've got to see your family and your children saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And when you begin to see it, you don't let all the distractions around you, because a vision is what you focus on. I'm focused on this, so all the things pulling at me cannot change the direction that I'm going. You get a picture. And the way we see ourselves has a lot to do with where we end up in life. You got to see what he says about you. I'm not going to be holy when I get to heaven. He said right here, right now, if my faith is in that blood and in that body of Jesus Christ, I am as holy and righteous and forgiven, because it has nothing to do with what I bring to the picture except faith. My faith in Jesus Christ says I am the righteousness of God right now. And if I'm the righteousness of God, which the Bible says, I have to see myself like that so I can come boldly before the throne of grace. When you understand that, it can change your life. If you believe in your heart, you're a failure. If you believe in your heart, you can't succeed, that everybody else is better than you. If you believe in your heart that you don't deserve what others can obtain through the cross, you've got to be able to see yourself walking in what God says about you. And there are obstacles to that vision, three specifically. He said, first of all, I want you to understand that the vision that God gives you will have the obstacle of present circumstances not lining up with what God is telling you to do. And that's why he said in the next part of the verse, write the vision. When you see what I say, I want you to write it down. Why? Because I want it logged into your mind, what I say over what present circumstances say. I want you to hang on to it. I want you to pull it out of the drawer and look at it again and remind yourself, I told you that that family would be saved. I told you that that business would be blessed. I told you that I would help you. I told you in that service. I said it and you saw it. Write it down, because there will come days where tomorrow you'll have the opportunity to lose what God is saying to you today because you're not seeing it in the present circumstances. Not only is there the challenge of present circumstances, and more people have given up on their vision because of present circumstances than probably anything. They let the present talk them out of it. When God tells me something, I don't let the present circumstances talk me out of it. Hallelujah. And that's how you maintain joy. Because you don't live by what you see, you live by what God said. And I just believe that when it's all said and done, God's going to take it a lot like this and like that and like this and all this and all this and all this. And then finally, in his time, and see, he will withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly. If God's withheld it, it wasn't good or it wasn't time yet. And for me, when I hear him say it, I wait to see what he will say, and when I know that he's told me, my sheep know my voice, he said, then I get it settled. Go on and act crazy, do whatever you want to do, let all hell break loose. By present circumstances don't change the promises of God. And the second thing is not just present circumstances or obstacles to the vision, but present resources. I mean, this is a big one. You never have now what you need to get the vision done, because present resources don't match up with where God is taking you. I've never had the money to do what God told me to do. It's provision, which means you get vision and then the pro comes, the provision. But if you're sitting around waiting on the lottery, you're never going to do anything. It's vision that attracts resources. There's a Bible verse, and I tell this to young preachers all the time. I'm telling you, I read a little book one time, and this guy said this. He said, deep calls unto deep. That's a Bible verse. Deep calls unto deep. In other words, there are some resources, the deep pocket resources, never come to you until you get a big vision. And it's not one you make up, it's one God gives you. But deep only calls the deep. Some people just, they're not even interested in your vision until it's big enough for their world and their finances. Hallelujah. So dream big. Hallelujah. Because you serve a God who said, I can do exceedingly abundantly. I'm preaching myself happy this morning. Abundantly above all that you could ask or even imagine. The last one is your present self. You see, you feel, have you ever noticed that when God gives you a vision, you feel like sometimes your biggest obstacle is yourself? The devil hadn't got as much to do with stuff sometimes as your present self. When you see what God says, you will always be somebody better in the vision than you are right now. It'll be beyond you. It'll be bigger than you think you're capable of. And so if you're not careful, your present self will talk you out of your future self. When God releases vision to someone, by the time they get to it, they're going to be somebody else. When the vision came to Abram, his name was Abram. God gave him a vision. But by the time that it manifests, God said, now your name is Abraham, father of many. He started out his present self, but God said, I'm going to make you into the man that can handle everything that I want to do in your life. When the word and the vision comes to Jacob, and he sees God's blessing on his life, his name is Jacob, which means liar and swindler and cheat, and it literally means worm if you look it up. But that was his present self. His future self, by the time he's standing in the vision, his name is Israel, which means a prince with God who has power with God and favor with men. He went from a worm to a prince through the process. The vision that God gives you. When I first started with the vision, I was not capable. I didn't have the sermons. I didn't have the Bible knowledge. I didn't know the things. I didn't know, understand buildings. I didn't understand nothing. I had nothing. How in the world do I have books? How in the world do I have a study Bible? How in the world? It was all wait. That was my present self, and there was the future self. And don't let the present self kill the future self. If you're in a drug rehab, that's your present self, but you've got a future self, and your future self is going to get it together by the blood and the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Tell somebody you've got a future self. And don't let your present self, your present circumstances and your present resources stop you from pursuing the vision that is bigger than your resources, bigger than your circumstances, and bigger than who you are right now. He said, I'll make you a disciple. I'll take you through valleys and you'll pick up a stick and it'll part the Red Sea. I'll take you through fiery furnaces and you'll find out you don't have to fear nothing when the fourth man is with you. I'll take you through the lion's den and you'll watch the lion breathe his breath on you but not touch you. And then you come out into your future self. That's why you can't give up if you're a weak Christian. You can't give up if you're a struggling Christian. I'm telling you, our future self is coming, praise God. The trumpet's gonna sound, and we're gonna get a new body, and we're gonna get a new beginning in heaven, and we won't fight this stuff anymore. But until then, keep on walking in the direction of the vision that God gives. By the time the vision comes true, you're going to be somebody else. I have a future self. Now, this is amazing. Watch this. In Genesis 13, in verse 14, God says to Abraham, he says, and the Lord God said unto Abraham, I've separated Lot from you, and he says, listen to these words, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. You got to see what I say. Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. Some of you have settled where you are. You've lost vision. You're not dreaming of anything. You're not seeing anything. You're just existing. And the Lord said to him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which you see, I will, this is why I support Israel, I will give to you and your descendants forever. Don't get so focused on your circumstances, your resources, and your present self that you lose focus. Lift up your eyes and all that you can see. If you can see it, I can give it to you. Now look at verse 17. It's unbelievable. He says, arise. Walk through the land, its length and width, for I will give it to you. Notice that all the land had been given to Abraham. It's like God said, in any and every direction that you can walk and you can see it, I will give it to you. But the day you stop walking and the day you stop seeing it, is the day that you just built the boundaries on what I'll do. Because if it's all yours, it doesn't really matter which direction you start. Whew. I love to preach like this. I want to scream it at the young people. The only regrets I've got in life is I didn't dream bigger. I just believe anything that I could believe God for, He can do it. If it's about souls, if it's about helping people. See, please understand this. God gave Joseph a dream. This is the most important thing to understand. And we only hear about one dream. But God gave Joseph a dream. And when He gave him the dream, the first part of the dream, well, the first dream, He gave him two dreams. The first dream was an earthly dream. And he saw a field that in the field, the harvest was bending over and bowing to him. That's an earthly dream. And God can give you authority and dominion in the earth. But that's not the total dream. Then the next part of the Bible said that he saw a second dream and he saw, watch this, a heavenly dream, the sun, the moon, and the stars bowing down. See, God, when he gives a dream to somebody, it has effects on earth. It will bless you. It will bless your children. It will bless your children's children. But if all you do is get the car and get the house and get the stuff and get the career and get the country club or whatever it is that you want, and you get that stuff, all you have is a half a dream. It's not until that dream is attached to the heavenly dream. Do you understand that? See, God will bless you if you seek him first. What is amazing that we get so wrong that people work so hard to get the dream house, the dream this. I found that if I seek first the kingdom of God, all of these things will be added unto me. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. And then the last part, I want to close it. The last part, he said, and once you see what he says, run with the vision. Run with the vision. Do you hear me? Everybody say, run with the vision. That's burning on the inside. Run with it. Let me give you one last biblical example. 1 Kings 18, hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. But before the hand of the Lord came on him, you know what he did? He got down and he prayed and he said, Lord, I need a word from you. I need a word from you. I need a word from you. And he sent the servant, and the servant went on a cliff and he said, you're praying for rain, but I don't see no rain. It's bright sunshine. He comes back. He says, did you see anything? No. He says, go again. He goes again. He comes back. See, this is the tearing part. Did you see anything? I don't see nothing, sir. Nothing. Go again. He goes again six times. Comes back, six handfuls of nothing. You see anything? Not a thing. See, he's tarrying. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will surely come to pass. He knew he was seeing what he heard. But when you see what he says, that's when you run. And the Bible said, go back to that verse, 1 Kings 18, the hand of the Lord then came upon. This is the context of this verse. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, girded up his loins, and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. He outran a horse. He had a vision, and he said, and all he had was a hand, a cloud the size of a hand. And he said, I'm going to beat him to the city because I have heard from God, and I'm running with the vision. God wants us to take him at his word. Praise God. Will you take him at his word? You say, well, I don't feel like God's got a vision. No, the problem is you've not sought him for the vision. He has a vision for every one of you. And it's earthly and it's heavenly.
See, I don't believe that God just saves us and says, now sit around and have your bags packed and be ready for the rapture and go to heaven. I'm not minimizing that. We are to be ready. We believe in the coming of the Lord. But I believe since he saved you, he has a purpose and a plan and a vision for your life in whatever season you're in. You're never too old to have a vision. You're never too young to have a vision. And I just believe that the vision that God has for you today is being stirred and awakened. And I pray something has shifted in your heart and that you're hearing God say, I want you today to walk and see my vision for your life. So right now, pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, I love you. I believe in you. Forgive me, cleanse me, wash me. And today I receive by faith, by what you did on the cross and the resurrection, a past forgiven, a purpose for living. Give me a vision for where I am and where you want me to be, and give me a home in heaven in Jesus' name. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Charred by fire. These are the remains of homes, businesses, and farms in the Eshkol region of Israel. For many residents, the memory of that horrific day is too painful to face. Most are unable to return to the places they once called home. They can't bear the trauma, the charred remnants of their lives, the blood-soaked ground that holds memories of the darkest day they've ever known. But now there's hope. Jensen Franklin Media Ministries, along with our partners at the Jewish National Fund, are breaking ground on phase two of our multi-year, three-phase initiative, Light Over Darkness, Rebuild and Restore. Phase two is all about giving these families the chance to return home. It's about restoring the spaces that were once filled with life and love, places now scarred by the trauma of war. Together, this effort will bring their lives back from the brink. Homes, businesses, and communities will be rebuilt. When you give now, our partner on the ground, the Jewish National Fund, has pledged to match every dollar donated. Your support is crucial to restoring life to these broken families. Your gift will have an immediate impact in the Holy Land. Call, scan, or go online to donate now.
Just want to take a moment and say thank you from the bottom of my heart for your faithful support of this ministry. And every time you give, you help us preach the gospel to over 200 nations through the miracle of broadcast television, reaching people every single day, saving souls because of your giving. Second, we create resources and we do devotionals and all kinds of materials that bless and strengthen people with their walk. And lastly, we believe with the resources that we have left is that we need to take that money and give life support giving projects all around the world to those in need. One of the areas that we have been targeted in for several years is the nation of Israel. Together, we are preaching and building and blessing and reaching people in the nation of Israel with God's love in tangible ways. So thank you for standing with us. Thank you for standing with Israel.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.